You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
USB microphones and headphones provided by CAD Audio. CAD Audio, expression through innovation.
This is Ethan Young, and you're listening to Weeby Geeks.
Hey, this is Todd Emko of A Piggy's Tale, and you're listening to Weeby Geeks.
Do not attempt to adjust your device. This is Extreme Freedom Audio Bulletin. It cannot be traced, cannot be stopped, and it is the only free voice left in the geek revolution.
Welcome back to Weeby Geeks. Tonight we have some really, really awesome guests. They're probably my favorite guests, but don't tell anyone. We've had them on the show before, and we had a really good time. We have Ethan Young, we have Todd Emko, and I see someone else, Sarah Flowers. That's Todd Emko's wife, and she does a lot of work for A Piggy's Tale as well, so she definitely needs to be mentioned. And they are here today. Joining us, as always, we have myself. We have Mike. He's like, he does everything. We have Derek and we have Brett. It's an ongoing joke. We always say, oh, yeah, like Mike, he does the editing. He does all this. And we just kind of show up and like, you know, talk. But so how's everyone tonight?
Good. Yeah. And it's actually, I met you, Jules, through Sarah, actually, remember?
Yeah, that's right. I take credit for that whole thing.
Yes. And both you and Ethan helped me stalk her until I finally got her.
Yeah, don't go bragging about that, but okay.
Why does it sound like another episode of The X-Files?
I just remember a story that Sarah told me one time about. She was saying that, and I can't remember the whole entire thing, but she said something about one time she was carrying like all this Piggy's Tail stuff like through the city or something, and like, am I correct with that?
Yeah.
For the first event that I did, I carried all of the merch from our apartment on the Upper East Side to the Javits Center.
Yeah, which if you don't know, that's the other side of town.
Yeah.
So if you walk through all of Central Park, which is totally safe with all their stuff.
That's amazing. With all the like Piggy's Tail stuff that they set up with. So
I felt like an archer or something because I had like these banner bags that reminded me of like arrow bags or something. Like, I felt very, very important.
Oh. And she was wearing a raccoon mask, which helps that persona. You know.
Although, when I do this next week for New York Comic Con, I will be driving.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. New York Comic Con is coming up soon.
I know.
Yeah. Now, you guys just did Baltimore Comic Con, right?
Yes. We just did Baltimore and just got back like a little over 2 days ago. And then 1 week from now, we will be completely set up, or Sarah will have just completely set up for New York Comic Con. Yeah,
awesome.
That's definitely our biggest one of the year. So yeah, we are both excited as well as paralyzed with fear for that one coming. So.
But at least we have last year to go on.
Yeah. So there is some precedent. Last year we took huge chance with New York Comic Con because it was the first time we did like a big show. We had like, you know, just a couple issues out. The booth was so expensive we didn't know what to do. Like, but we took a chance and said, okay, well, we'll try it. It's huge, but why not? Go big or go home. And when we started unpacking, we were maybe two rows away from like the gigantic Lord of the Rings setup with like the giant Gollum statue, and we're like, okay, no one's ever gonna find us. But actually we sold out of the entire 2,000 copy print run of issue number one of Piggy's Tale. So people actually like really reacted to it well, and in fact by the successive days, like people actually started coming by and to our booth showing us like we made Piggy cosplay and like made their own Piggy cosplay outfits and stuff like that. We were blown away by that. So people reacted to it. So like this year we're like, okay, we're definitely doing it and stuff. But yeah, it's no matter how much you prepare for something as big as New York Comic Con, you're not ready. Like last year, we thought we were ready, but we sold out of everything. Like we just ran out, which was awesome because halfway through we're like, oh wow, we're gonna sell out of issue number one. 10 seconds later, oh, we're gonna run out of issue number one, the hell do we do? You know, and so Yeah, we ran out of everything. We ran out of tote bags, buttons, everything.
Except for like number two and number three.
Yeah.
Wow.
But, yeah, I think we even had a limited amount of number two left. And so then, like, we had cons pretty much the whole rest of the month. So we had to just do it without part of our inventory.
Yeah. It's like, hi, we're a Piggy's Tale. Would you like to buy the third issue of it?
What? Y'all are going to have to try and get into the Wizard World circuit, especially next August when it's here in Orlando.
Really?
Yeah. First show in Orlando.
Wizard World next year. Orlando? Didn't know about that.
But they're still, MegaCon's still going on too, so they'll be in, actually, their Memorial Weekend next year.
Oh, wow.
Who puts a show on in Memorial Weekend?
Well, Florida SuperCon in Miami is usually on 4th of July weekend, so Florida just likes to have
weekend.
We wanted to do Florida SuperCon last year, and our daughter's school was not out yet, and so we couldn't make the trip. But this year, we might just take her out of school early because half the kids skipped it anyway. So going to school till July is kind of ridiculous. So
they're talking. MegaCon just announced too. They're going to do Mega Fan Days in November, a 2-day event. So chances are they're going to do the same thing next year as well.
Band-Aids?
Sort of similar to what Dallas does with their big show in the spring and then a mini con in the fall.
Oh.
So
it's kind of like how New York does New York Comic Con, then they do Special Edition.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Special Edition is now basically like a New York Comic Con, I think. Oh. And this year it sounded like it was huge.
Yeah, so now they just have like 2 New York Comic Cons a year.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so, the first couple of years, there were no exhibitors, there was nothing, and now there anything pretty much is allowed, I think.
So before you guys came on, Todd, you held up something. It looked like a plush. Gotta fill us in.
Aw. That is so cute.
I'm holding up an Angry Kitty plush. It was part of a Kickstarter that some people did in order to make Angry Kitty. It's not Grumpy Kitty. This is not Grumpy Kitty. This is Angry Kitty.
Okay.
But we've been looking around and examining different possible sources for plush toys.
Yeah, we also got this one, Jules. It's a Gronk plush.
I got a Gronk plush too. I got it at Wizard World Pittsburgh. I don't have it with me, but I was so excited.
It was so cute.
And then we also got the second. She had they had her books there. We only got the second one because they didn't have the first one. And
we got one through four. There's four of them now. We got one through four.
Yeah, it's like so funny. I love Gronk.
Yeah, she's from our neck of the woods, from Ann Arbor.
Oh yeah. My gosh.
Yeah.
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 So Ethan or Todd is holding up a Piggy plush.
Yes. Yeah. So this is a prototype.
I know what it looks like.
Yeah. So this is a prototype, and that's why we're looking around at like all the different places that make them, because we are going to be in the business of making Piggy plushes hopefully in the next year. So.
Is that the one you're going to go with, or are you're still shopping around to see?
We're still shopping around, but this is the biggest lead we have so far. Like this, we actually have the prototype for it. Like we got to the point where you had the prototype made and stuff like that. And we're currently going back and forth on them and like the details we want and everything like that. But that's why we've been. It's for science. That's why we have plush toys for science.
Yeah. So
you know, Todd, if you're holding the prototype, you don't have to say you had the prototype made. I think it's kind of self-explanatory that it's been made.
Yeah, but we also have a very grumpy, surly 15-year-old cat named Platy. And so we decided, like, well, if we're doing research, we gotta have a very angry kitty that she can bond with, though.
That looks like a Kickstarter that I would donate to.
Yes.
Yeah. It was adorable. Like, Kickstarter looked amazing.
Yeah. And that, like, they also made a verse out of it and everything like that. But,
aww.
I mean, there's just something, like, inherently. Like an angry dog is not all that, but like,
yeah, look at that little
kitty
face.
I mean, just angry kitty, like, you know, has a little bell collar and everything, you know. Angry kitties are just naturally cute.
So to bring this up, so Ethan doesn't feel left out, Ethan. I'm trying to remember if I'm pronouncing it right. Nanjing.
Oh yeah, Nanjing.
Is doing amazing. Did you expect the the reaction that you're getting?
Oh, thank you for that. I don't know how to respond to that except to say, like, I agree with you. Yes, I am amazing. Thank you. please tell me more. I think deep down inside, I was a little hesitant to admit to myself that I thought the response could be as strong as it was. Certainly, the potential was always there, just because I believed in the project, and especially when the project found its home at Dark Horse, I knew that they were a company that had the power and the resources to push the book into the market as strongly as they have, into the book market, into the comic book market. Not to mention, you know, the great staff over at Dark Horse that's just been so integral in setting up everything from, you know, interviews and reviews, and the article at Publishers Weekly was really great. It was kind of like a little check off my bucket list to finally be reviewed by them. I remember when I first quit college back in 03, no, 02. I forget when I quit college and became a loser. I would just sit at Barnes & Noble and just see all these trade paperbacks. That was when the trade paperback, the graphic novel industry was booming a bit, and I just figured, oh man, one of these days, this is my dream. You know, and it finally happened, and it was great. So, oh, okay, sorry. Short answer, to answer your question, yes, I did see it coming.
Well, if I remember right, too, we were one of your first interviews about the story as well, the first time you guys were on.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so back then, we were talking about concept and everything.
Yeah, I think we have some preview pages of it, too. Now, I ended up picking it up on Dark Horse Digital, and the book is just fabulous. I absolutely love, you know, the whole thing about it. It's a great story, great sense of, I want to say history, because there is a little historical tie-in with it. But no, I just absolutely loved the whole book.
Oh, thank you so much, man.
So I was glad to see other people are enjoying it and bringing it to the success that it deserves.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I'm really happy to see all that stuff, too. Not just because my ego is gigantic and I need that to validate myself. That's certainly part of it as someone with insecurity issues. But the other part of it is just me being proud of the work. And thank you so much for the kind words. They always mean a lot.
Not a problem. Not a problem.
Yeah. Even Publishers Weekly, like, raved about it and everything. Like a graphic novel getting the love from Publishers Weekly, and yeah, in fact, the only negative review that I've ever seen about it was a rabbit eating the book. So
that's a compliment. Him. Oh. You only choose.
Yeah, we call that negative.
Well, it's good read and it's tasty. I mean, you can't go wrong with that.
It's high in fiber. But I still said that he did that because Ethan, my rabbits make a cameo in the latest comic that Todd and Ethan put out, and the one that chewed up his book was only half of his face was in it, not the whole face. And so I say that's his revenge of being cut out of his comic. He ate the book.
Hey, that bunny has to earn his cameo, okay? I didn't get the bunny well.
He was the third cutest pet in Illinois, so he has an ego too.
See,
it gives me a bag of pellets for that cameo.
It just goes to prove the book is good for your mind and good for your digestive system.
Yeah. Yeah. That could be one of the quotes from Weeby Geeks, like, you know, Nanjing, it's good for your mind and it helps your shit. Wait, can I say that? I keep forgetting if not
Nanjing, not first.
We tend to be family friendly, but we're going to let that one slide.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'll say poo next time. I've been trying to clean up my language just because my son Elliot's starting to mimic our mouth movements and stuff, but I still say, you know, mother effer and everything else, and so I have to replace those words with rats and sugar, because my wife just suggested you saying rats and sugar, but I still say it with the most angry affectation. I'm just like, rats, sugar, god damn it. When a car cuts us off or something, I'm like, god damn, rats, sugar.
My wife's is son of a superhero.
I like that one.
When my daughter's around, yeah, you'll find yourself with, by the time you hit that year mark, you're gonna be going, I gotta go potty, I gotta go poopy.
That's true.
It's gonna take time before that goes away. I still haven't.
Bring back that, like, 50s slang, like, I gotta go pinch a loaf.
I'm going to the bathroom, leaving some logs.
I always like
that's gonna go drink himself to sleep now.
Looking at the pages for
Nanjing. I really like the art style that you're going with on it. Comparing, because Walking Dead's really the only other black and white comic that I've really read, and I really like your style over theirs as far as being able to tell people the difference between people and things like that.
Oh, thank you so much, man. Is this Derek or Brett?
Sorry, this is Brett. Sorry. Yeah.
Thank you, Brett. Sorry.
No problem. Is it difficult for you when doing the black and white over color?
Oh, they both have their challenges. Like when I was doing A Piggy's Tale with Todd, let me think. You know, working with Todd on A Piggy's Tale was really easy in many ways, mainly because he lets me boss him around and tell him what to do and stuff, but also because he's wonderful and gives me a lot of freedom. But the color plays such a big part in telling the story in A Piggy's Tale, and we were very, very cognizant of that. We really wanted to use the color to really push the story forward and really use intense lighting and really deep contrasts. So for black and white art, I mean, you don't have the same palette and you don't have the same variety. But, you know, sometimes all you really need is like a deep black background to really hit the emotional curve you're trying to hit with the scene or with just like a facial expression. If I want to do a close-up of one of the soldiers and just have a deep black background in the back, it really emphasizes the emotional core of that scene that I'm just trying to hit at that very moment. So they both have their drawbacks, and they both definitely have a lot of their attributes. And obviously, like, you know, with black and white art, it's a little less time consuming at times. With coloring, especially digital coloring, a lot of times just doing just filling in the colors for every little panel just takes forever sometimes, and that's when I yell at Todd because I get stressed and stuff, and Todd puts up with me a lot. Todd's gonna put up with me at New York Comic Con too, because the last time we were at Special Edition together, I didn't handle it very well.
But you just gotta remember, Ethan, if you push Todd too far, he knows which ocean to drop you off in.
Yeah, that's right, he does. But issue 4 came out really, really well. I mean, we did have to get a separate colorist because I was doing a lot of other stuff, and we got Mike Garland, who colors Big Trouble in Little China for Boom. He's a local friend of ours, and he's pretty awesome. He did a great job. But Todd, did you want to talk about the future annual?
Oh, yeah, yeah. At first I thought you were saying, do you want to talk about me now? Everyone,
hey,
else,
Todd, you want to talk about how delicious I am now? Oh, yeah, Ethan Young is delicious.
You have to describe my guns because they can't see. Yeah. No, I guarantee you, he's huge. All right. So, yeah, well, we have finished issue number 4 of the 4-part Piggy miniseries. So New York Comic Con will be its big debut, which we're really excited about. And so after that, we are going to actually make the very highly requested Simon annual one-off, because Simon is everyone's fan favorite. So, like, we got to give the cat some love. I mean, it's a cartoon cat. Like, you know, it should have been a no-brainer.
Does cats get any love on the internet ever?
No. Angry Kitty, Sumo Kitty, Jedi Kitty.
Angry Kitty.
Grumpy Cat.
When you bring it up.
We got sucked into a cat. Well, my daughter got sucked into cat videos the other day, just like laughing so hard. It was the funniest thing. And then I was like, this is why people talk about watching cat videos and getting nothing done. it was funny. She thought it was the best thing ever. She's like, I want it. She's begging for a cat.
We're actually trying to organize like a fundraiser where we just compile like all these viral cat videos and just play them for like 2 hours at like a theater or like a local place. Yeah. It's going to be fantastic.
I guarantee if you do that, you get like Brooklyn hipsters showing up instead of actual children who would adopt animals.
Yeah. So
as long as they give us money, it doesn't matter.
I guess, yeah.
So what's the future of Piggy Sale now that you're about ready to wrap the miniseries?
Well, we got a lot of bunch of stuff coming up, actually. So we have the Simon issue coming up, and then they're going to have some more adventures all together. Yeah, and then Yeah, like Ethan, should we talk about the GN? Or?
Oh, I have to know.
It's no secret that once you put out a miniseries, you publish it as a graphic novel. We're not the first to turn. You can't help. I'm giving you that loving brother laugh where I'm like, oh, it's not a secret, Todd.
It's an industry standard.
They've heard of books before. Don't worry.
Hey, Ethan, should we tell them we charge money? We should tell them we charge money. Should we? We charge money. Okay, we charge money.
All right. We like cat stuff.
Look, I'm sorry. I've been drinking vodka all night. I'm sorry. Anyway.
I had to put the disclaimer that Nanjing wasn't for kids, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry. I know this is a family show. Nanjing isn't for kids, and sorry that I've been drinking soda all night. Sorry.
And chocolate milk.
And chocolate milk. We're going to, now that the miniseries is wrapped up, we are planning to hit the convention road and the retailer world again with a nice, beautiful collected edition of A Piggy's Tale. And we're still, you know, the decision to pursue a publisher or to self-publish right now is still up in the air a little bit. Just because, you know, self-publishing is obviously not what it was 10 years ago when I started, because there are just so many more options now. Overseas options has made it incredibly financially viable for someone with, you know, $3,000 to put something out that looks incredibly beautiful. Back in 05 and 04 and 05, like, if you had $3,000, I mean, you can get something. It just wouldn't be great, and you had to kind of cut your corners on the production. Now, like, you can get full color, great binding, stuff's just not going to fall apart. The stuff that's not going to fall apart the second you open it. Like some early trades from like the early 2000s, like you open it up and the glues are falling apart.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, we have a wealth of options and stuff, and I think it's going to be great. We have to also remind everyone too that all the proceeds from all these sales goes to Todd's animal hospital that he not only co-founded with his friend Dre Gordon, but you know, he runs it, and all the proceeds go to this animal hospital. He keeps none of it for himself. He is poor. I mean, Todd is poor. I'm kidding. But Todd plays it cool. Yeah, he's very humble. So I will brag for him about what a generous and kind, wonderful person he is. And you know, all the proceeds go to saving the animals over on the Galapagos. Darwin Animal Doctors is the name of the hospital.
Nice. Yeah, and Ethan's the one. He's always the one being modest. So like Darwin Animal Doctors, all of our art and stuff are our education. Banners, the education materials that we work with all the kids to teach them how to take care of animals and stuff. Ethan did all of that, and he did a lot of that just pro bono, just to help out, because he wanted to help out the dogs and cats and all the animals down there in the Galapagos. So Piggy actually started off in cartoon form. Well, you know, Piggy's my actual three-legged dog, and he started off in cartoon form as the cartoon mascot, like, you know, a three-legged super dog that taught kids how to take care of their animals and how to teach them to be quote-unquote superheroes for animals. And so the feedback from that was so good that we decided to do the original Kickstarter to find out if there was enough interest in getting it to become an actual cartoon, like, you know, an actual proper comic book here in the U.S. And we were blown away by the response.
And Canada. Diamond distributes to the U.S. and Canada.
Yeah. And also to the U.K. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit to the U.K. too, yeah.
I had to fill out many forms.
Well, yeah. Well,
Australia, Switzerland.
Yeah.
UK.
Yes.
So do you think you would do a Kickstarter for the plush or no? Or would you go, I think I've asked this before, but would you go back to Kickstarter for any Piggy's Tail stuff or not?
Yeah, I'd love to get free money. I'm sorry, what? First of all, let me reiterate, sorry. Todd's not poor. Todd's loaded with money, sorry.
I got lots of money. I got...
Sorry, we have a recurring character in our just between our families is Trump Cat. we take our cats and like sort of like move their arms around and stuff like that and pretend that we're Trump.
You're finally
bragging
really
about having the best
diamond
stuff.
Encrusted, most beautiful cat bull you've ever seen. You know.
He calls everyone else a loser. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, we're. Todd and Sarah, I guess you guys would know better, how far are we on fulfilling all the orders for the original Kickstarter? I think we're mostly done with them, right?
Yeah, I just need you to sign about 200 books. Still waiting on that.
Okay, yeah, I know what I'm doing late nights at after New York Comic Con now. Not drinking or having fun, but signing these damn books.
The envelopes are addressed. They just need signatures.
But if you sign them while drinking...
There you go. Signature just keeps getting worse as the night goes on. Pretty soon it's just a straight line.
Soon it'll be Cat, it'll be a picture of Pac-Man, it'll be...
Then I'm just going to draw someone like flipping a bird on the cover. Like, I certainly don't mind doing Kickstarter again. I mean, I know we talked about this last time, but I know Todd had several nervous breakdowns during the course of that Kickstarter, and I had to talk him off the ledge several times, the proverbial ledge. I think this time around, if we do it together and we adjust our expectations modestly, I think we can hit a pretty decent, modest Kickstarter amount, or goal, rather, and I think we can hit it fairly quickly, and I think get sufficient funds to put out the best product we can. With that first Kickstarter, we were just asking for a lump sum that came into our head that we figured we could hit, and it would cover some of the cost of producing this monstrosity of a 4-issue full-color miniseries. that Diamond encouraged us to price down as well to compete, and Diamond was looking out for us. I mean, I'm not blaming them. They gave us all the proper reasons as to why we should make it $2.99 instead of $3.99, even though $3.99 is a much more expected price for an indie full color book. But you know, we were facing some heavy, some heavy odds. Just lack of name recognition, lack of being a franchise. Like, we're not Adventure Time, obviously. I mean, we'd love to be, but if Cartoon Network is listening, hey, we'd love to have a cartoon. Why not? But yeah,
hey, there's always Fox Animation domination.
Yes, there is. I actually don't even know. Like, they told me they loved me. I wonder if I'll get a... I don't know if I want to work there again, just because the hours are going to conflict with me taking care of Elliot on certain days. I don't know yet. Back to the Kickstarter. I think we could do it well this time without losing our brains. Todd, what do you think?
Well, I was the only one that was losing my brain. Actually, we saw... Actually, so,
You don't think I lost my brain every time texted me, like, 5 times?
He would point out to me the fact that my roller coaster mood was reflected perfectly in my like suicidal text to him and stuff like that. Like, he would be like talking to his wife. He's like, "I'm sorry, I can't talk to you right now, wife. I have to talk this guy out of like putting the gun in his mouth because we only got
One time one of my friends donated $1, and then Todd texted me and he's like, "Who donated this $1?" Who is this guy?
Do you feel like you would have a better understanding of how it works now, and maybe it would be smoother? Or?
Oh yeah, I have a much better understanding. Like, it was a full time job. Like, we did a lot of prep for it, but we also did a full time job, like studying how it was done, like how you should handle every day, what the roller coaster of the initial surge and the lull in the middle, and when you need to get like a media push, like, you know, and the last like 72 hours are the biggest and all that stuff. So yeah, we've also done it once, so now we know what to expect and everything.
Plus, do it
also
again.
The first time around,
if have you have more of a fan base now, and you have more people that know about you. Piggy has a lot of like followers at conventions that bring him gifts and presents and toys and all kinds of things.
Baltimore, so. it was really kind of surreal. Like, people were coming to us saying that their families decided to come to the Comic Con. Like, they were cosplaying and everything. They said, "We only decided to come because we knew that we could when we found out that Piggy would be here and would bring him back." These high-end treats and stuff. We would read the ingredients on these treats and they're like, "Wow, he's eating better than we are this weekend," and stuff like that.
People bring them like piggy banks and treat bowls that we can reuse and donation jars, and just like, so there's definitely more of a following now than the first comic just getting your name out there.
Yeah.
Plus, Nanjing being successful probably won't hurt either.
Yeah. This time around, we got...
You like genocide? You'll love a piggy's tail.
This time around, we got the unicorns. Well, interestingly, so, like, Ethan being the more level-headed art guy and me being the freaking out writer guy on the whole project, soon after that, he was telling us, like, "Hey, there's this really cool documentary that you should watch called Indie Game, where that stars a duo team. This follows the, this documentary follows this duo that's making an indie video game, and the artist is a really laid back guy who's really good at art and is really level headed about the whole thing and has modest expectations. And the writer guy is this freaked out diabetic who's constantly on the edge and about to jump off a cliff because, you know, he doesn't have the best-selling game in the world yet and stuff. And when they get released, they're like, it's only the second most best-selling game in Xbox history. No, you know, like, I need to give up and start selling car engines. And yeah, so I was like, oh, I wonder why he made me watch this documentary.
Well, it was a good documentary, but yeah, the programmer guy was just always on his nerves, and the game was Super Meat Boy, and the artist guy was a little bit more laid back, but he just dealt with tension a different way. I deal with my tension just drinking at night alone in my studio like a loser, and Todd deals with his tension by talking. That's as plainly as I put it, just he talks. But yeah, that's why they also complement each other very well. I'm so happy to hear that Piggy has all these groupies / stalkers and fans, but I think it's amazing. I actually do think it's actually really wonderful. I think Piggy's just someone who's good. He's such a great dog, and people gravitate towards him. And this time around, not just having the fans, but also having having done the Kickstarter, we know exactly what to put out. Like Todd said, we know exactly what to do every single day. That first time around, we didn't really have images ready for... Todd, if you remember, we didn't have images ready for the daily updates and stuff, and you text me, and I'd just be like, oh crap, I have to put something together really quickly, and we had to choose the right proper images and blah blah blah, and it was just a hassle every single day to get something fresh and engaging up every single day without giving too much away. And I think this time around, I think we're going to do a little bit better.
Yeah, well, I mean, the books actually exist this time. So people know what this thing is.
I just don't know if Nanjing's sales and popularity is going to translate to a Piggy's Tale, and it'd be really strange if it did. We'd get some really weird fans if that were the case.
You like war crimes and three-legged dogs. We have something for you.
It's a package combo, okay? Come on.
It's a three-legged dog that's a result of a war crime. But
I really
took an IED in the leg.
Well, I mean, you guys used tails the first time, so if you can use, I mean, that's not exactly the same as Piggy at all either. So
yeah, that's true. Although when people look at the cover of Tails, they think it's kid friendly. I was at a signing one time, and this I think like 9-year-old kid asked me what Tails was about, and I asked him, "Have you ever had an ex girlfriend?" And he just looked at me like, "No." Like, you're probably not going to get my story very well, young man.
That's why you made a super special Odie edition.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. So for their daughter, I had to cut out all the cursing and all the references to any adult content, and she's asked for a super special audio edition of Nanjing, and I'm like, it's gonna be like 3 pages at best.
Just
shot of someone's face, and that's it.
Just change all the guns to paintball.
Yeah,
they'll give it the ET treatment. Everyone's carrying walkie talkies.
Yes.
Well, I think when they went back to Blu-ray, he actually undid all the changes he made for ET.
Oh.
So they're all back to carrying weapons again.
It's because you realized that was dumb.
So when are we looking at possibly the graphic novel coming out?
Well, it'll be a while still, because we still are. The graphic novel is going to have a lot of extra content, and a lot of that's still in the making right now and stuff.
Okay.
There's some bigger, larger. I didn't know about this. Like, huh? What's that?
It is. I didn't know about this.
Well, no, like
you heard it here first.
Like larger global projects that Piggy might be involved in and stuff like that. There's
yeah, like that's a Kickstarter that didn't get funded that you didn't freak out about.
Oh.
So he can do it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's this, the United Nations is doing, like, the sustainability guides, with this big sustainability goals, for the new millennium goals for sustainability. Like, they're having the big series of meetings and everything. And as part of these, they want to distribute, like, sustainability guides around the world. And the project, Comics Uniting Nations, was a project that was unfortunately not successfully backed on Kickstarter, but it was a project where they were going to distribute like these sustainability guides to over 100 countries around the world and get around language barriers and cultural barriers and literacy barriers by teaching them all to kids visually through comics. And so Superman and Wonder Woman are teaching kids to stay away from landmines in countries where that's an issue, and Spider-Man and Captain America are teaching kids not to bully in school and stuff. And even though that Kickstarter didn't get funded, like, the United Nations and UNICEF is still really interested in doing a lot of these, like, you know, these sustainability PSAs and humane education PSAs, and Piggy is actually a part of that. And so even though it won't be as big in scope as the original, you know, Comics Uniting Nations project, which were going to be like full comic books and everything, there's going to be like a lot of these PSAs involved with these sustainability goals distributed to like over 100 countries around the world. And we're working with the groups Reading with Pictures that are making these, the Superman and Wonder Woman and Piggy comics to put in these. And that's a big ongoing project. Piggy is in that. And so, like, if it gets to the point, even though the Kickstarter didn't get funded, that, like, you know, they can actually put these in these UNICEF guides around the world, then that's going to be huge for Piggy. And it's going to possibly break, like, the world's record for, like, most distributed comics and stuff. So it's projects like that.
I have a small question about that. Couldn't Superman just remove the mines himself? How lazy is he? He's just telling these children to just watch out. He's Superman. I don't get it.
It is DC. Look at the new movie that comes out next year.
Oh yes, angry versus angrier. Yes, angry people. Yes.
Batman Heart Superman.
Yes,
that was an angry trailer. Yeah, we did the sketches for the PSAs and everything. We were waiting approval based on the timeline of the Kickstarter, just because there was some bureaucratic thing. I forget. The sketches are done. All they need to do is move on to the ink and color process. That's some extra material. I think we wanted to do some extra Simon stories to kind of pad the trade paperback a little bit as well, just so you know we can really justify taking all your money with a price gouging right there. Oh, I'm sorry, did I just reveal all our pricing secrets?
No one has thought of this. Silence, you fool.
Those wizards stay themselves, okay?
We're monetizing pictures of cats. You monster. Yes. Yeah, a lot of the upcoming stuff, we're going to be, Simon is basically our Wolverine, our badass little cat portion of the story, and so a lot of people have been requesting that we give him a lot more love in our upcoming projects, so he will have a more prominent role. Yeah
the CTV2 variant cover with Simon did really, really well in Chicago this past spring. Todd, did anyone use the Weeby Geeks special code to get a free trading card pack from April?
Oh yeah. Forgot about that.
Yes, we actually got rid of some trading cards.
You almost gave them away for free or something, I remember. Remember?
Yeah. I wonder if Marty got one when he stopped by.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that's right. You guys met Marty. I forgot about that.
A couple times.
That's right. That was cool. I was so excited for you guys to meet him.
Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah. Didn't realize his life was in turmoil and stuff like that.
We still bug him all the time.
I do. Yeah, but like, yeah, our C2E2 variant cover was actually a picture of Simon as Wolverine, basically as a parody of the Uncanny cover. Yeah, and people reacted really well to it. I mean, like, a lot of people even got the regular issue one and came back because they're like, I gotta get that cat as Wolverine.
That's how you hook them.
Bring out the cat.
Yeah.
Is that a Simon hat you're wearing?
Yes.
That is really cool.
So that's another prototype that we've been working on.
Yes, so
we may have in time for New York.
We have learned many things since the Kickstarter. We learned that people like images of cats. We've learned that people like looking like cats.
Mm-hmm. But they don't always like when their shirts come with cat hair on them. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Yes, everything comes with a bonus Piggy and Simon DNA products.
Or bunny. Or other.
They're going to be cloned all over the place.
Yeah.
Not that kind of DNA. Heyo! Sorry, it's all the 7-Up I've been drinking.
Yeah.
it's just, you know what I mean? Any book that comes with Ethan's signature.
You guys have any other conventions after New York that you guys are looking at doing?
Oh yeah, like we're going to be doing a lot of the, since we've been doing so many both big and small ones for the past year, like we've learned that we are very encouraged that Piggy's does really well at like larger events and stuff, so we're going to be doing like all of the big ones again over the next year, but also we're going to try to expand. Like, yeah, well, like we're totally going to come to try to come down to Florida and stuff, because for the big events there and things. And we got on the wait list for Denver, but we have no idea if we're going to be able to get into Denver or not.
Yeah, it seems like it's a little hard to get into.
Yeah, but I mean, there's definitely like, you know, last year we tried to get in, we didn't get into Emerald last year on the wait list, but we can keep trying and everything like that. But yeah, anywhere that will accept a dog, we would totally love to. Yeah.
We're planning on doing C2E2 again.
Yeah, we're going to do C2E2 again. But and then, yeah, like...
If y'all get out to Denver, stay at the Curtis. It's only a couple blocks down from the convention center, and they have one floor dedicated for pets.
Really?
Nice.
Yes.
Wow. Can the humans stay on that floor, too? Is it just like...
Yeah.
I think the dogs walk you on that floor.
Yeah.
Well, Todd, Piggy's also a service dog. They can't turn away a service dog, can they? I don't know how it is state to state, but
right.
I don't think service animals could be turned away.
Yeah.
Unless for
service dog. Sure, they can be. Oh. That's what
they're really.
Here. Maybe they're not supposed to be, but they'll do it anyway.
Yeah, but a lot of the conventions, a lot of people say like, "Oh, do you have a problem? You know, bringing a dog here?" And like at Baltimore, we were like the dog was invited. You know, we were eventually allowed to come along with them, but yeah, they wanted the dog.
You guys were coming. Like, we don't have anything for you. Do we need to charge you? Like, what do we do? I'm like, I don't know. Just give me a badge.
Like, we're with him. We're with this dog.
Aw.
Yeah, we did a Twin Tears Comic Con a few weeks ago in Ithaca. And,
It's in Elmira. It's in Elmira,
yeah,
actually.
Photoshop Piggy's face.
Don't tell anyone from Elmira. You just call them Ithaca. They have like a little high school rivalry going. Don't do that.
Yeah, just a little.
To plummet in that area, and we're going to be invited again next year.
I won't.
Oh yeah, we did a big Comic Con in Scotland, or was it Ireland? Did the same thing. It's like,
to go over.
No, we're killed. Same thing.
Yeah. Hey, Ethan, no, we did really well. Oh, sorry?
I just won't say I graduated from Elmira Free Academy.
Oh, okay. Oh. Yes, yeah, so you know about the little contentious relationship the two cities have then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's just that whole area, whether it's Elmira, Corning, Horseheads, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Syracuse and Cortland.
Yeah. You confuse any of those towns with Elmira. Elmira, yeah. And of course, my high school doesn't exist anymore because they combined the two high schools into one high school now.
Oh, wow.
So.
Sad to hear. Yeah, we love Elmira. The people there are so great. And one of my close friends, Jared, runs the shop Heroes Your Mom threw out there. And he's been one of my biggest supporters over the last 5 years or so. And he was really excited with the Piggy's Tail and with Manjing. When we hit Twin Tears this past month, it was August. It was the first convention that me and Todd had done for like a year. And like I said, it's special edition in New York City. I imploded a little bit. To be fair, look, I got that con flu where like by the second day I was just feeling like crap. And you know, I wouldn't say I cursed out any kids. I would just say politely that I didn't give a crap what they wanted me to draw. because, quite frankly, I just didn't give a crap. It was just, I was just like, oh, this kid likes Deadpool. And I'm like, I don't give a sugar what this kid likes.
He's getting Pac-Man.
No.
This kid's lucky I'm going to look at him. I'm sorry. But yeah, this time around, I made a point to not drink as much and also to kind of keep my spirits up. And it was good. I also did some impromptu uncle time with Odie. And the convention is big but for a small town, but not that big. So we kind of walked around the floor several times. It's like, we've seen the same thing. So eventually Odie just said, let's go buy stuff. And I'm like, with whose money? And she's like, yours. I'm like, well, that's convenient because it's my money. But it was great. Me and Todd also worked on our banter because, you know, people really like it when people customers reach a table and the two people seem like they're actually friends and can play off one another. But it's all just an act because me and Todd secretly hate each other all the time.
And we can tell.
No, actually, like, when you were freaking out at Special Edition, I was chuckling because I didn't realize till later that you weren't actually kidding about all the freaking out you were doing. So I was like, that was great when you were, like, yelling at me and I was, like, sort of giving the jab back. And you're like, no, I was actually freaking out. I was like, oh, well, now I feel bad.
Yeah, it's not your fault, though. It's just I got sick, and it's just like I really should have watched how many hands I shook because everyone's like picking their nose and touching themselves, and like, you know, like they're all grimy and sweaty and running towards the end of the aisle to get those early New York Comic Con tickets. Everyone's filthy at these conventions. I just got sick.
So look for the table that's got the gallon sized hand sanitizer on it.
Gallon of pure
just drink it. Drink it.
Yes, we're very, very sanitary, and we have a dog. So we have all of the cleanliness factors.
Now, you were talking about the comic book shop in Elmira. Is that the one like downtown near the river?
Yeah, on 14th Street.
Okay, so it is still there.
Yeah. When did you leave Elmira?
I left the area in 89.
Oh, okay. Wait, you're thinking of the shop that used to be an offshoot of the shop from Ithaca, right? Comics for Collectors?
I don't remember. See,
Tim from Comics for Collectors, he lives in Elmira, and he actually had a shop in both Cortland and in Elmira.
I don't remember that. I'm trying to think of the name of the main strip.
You get off on... I don't drive, my wife drives. But you get off at the Elmira Heights exit, and then you drive to, I think it was like 14th Street or something. That's where the shop is. It's okay. It's like a strip, and it's next to a big park.
Okay, yeah, it's not that one.
Okay.
This
How about
one
the Bar was... Legends? Was the Bar Legends there?
I don't remember. The place I went to was right near the levee. It was on the... I'm trying to find a map of Elmira so I can look.
Oh, do you remember that historic theater in Elmira downtown? The big historic theater?
The Clemens Center?
Yeah, I think it's like the fancy theater.
Yeah, I used to work at the Clemens Center.
Okay, yeah. It's Jared's shop actually moved there in the upstairs store for a very short period of time before he moved back to 14th Street downtown.
Okay.
Yeah, he used to use the upstairs balcony as a storage closet.
Oh, not the Clemens Center. Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Clemens Center is still currently active. I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah. We had, when The Walking Dead number 100 came out, we had a little zombie-themed party in downtown Elmira, and we tried to go bar hopping, but as you know, Elmira is kind of small, so bar hopping just means one bar and then back to the store. And so you just saw these like nerds dressed as zombies just walking through downtown Elmira, and it is so quiet at 8 p.m. It is so freaking quiet. It's kind of eerie almost.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the city that sleeps.
Nothing's
like
changed.
I've seen it change so much. I grew up in Syracuse, actually. I mean, it's crazy, like, how things are moving on, or things close up, or schools combine. Like, the populace... It's kind of crazy to come from a town where the population is decreasing over time. Right. Yeah.
Well, the thing that kills me with Elmira is, like I said, I went to Elmira Free Academy, and of course you had Elmira Southside on the opposite side of the river, and now the two schools are combined as one, and the old Ernie Davis Middle School is now in the Wait, is it middle school? They repurposed Elmira Free Academy for something new. Mm-hmm. And it's just so odd to hear the Elmira High School Express. I'm like, okay, nice nod to Ernie Davis, but two sides are now one. No, it's not right. But I guess they had to, though. I guess they couldn't. There wasn't enough to support two separate high schools.
Right. I think there's only like 17,000 people now there, not counting the colleges.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, Rochester's been losing people just because, you know, Kodak had to close a lot of its facilities. Yeah. I mean, one of my best friends is from Rochester, and they joke around that like Rochester's the town that Kodak built. And like, I know Syracuse is a town. Yeah. Syracuse is a town built for 250,000 people, and there's just under 140,000 living there. And sometimes like there's some beautiful areas of Syracuse, some beautiful, beautiful areas. And then sometimes you walk through downtown Saturday 3 p.m. and it is kind of dead, and it's just like maybe two other people on the street. Like, we can just film a scene there. We can just film a Piggy's Tail the movie there. Like, just put a cape on the dog and let him run wild.
Is that Abbey Road shoots that you ever want to do? Yeah,
I want to say the comic book shop was like near the corner of Water and Main.
No, this would be a different one then. And I think this one opened up around like 08.
Okay. Then the one I'm thinking of, they were in like an older building. It looked like an older building. But I know it's around it's on Water Street.
Either way.
So
I'm like hearing about like cool, you know, new comic shops or like, you know, vegan restaurants and stuff opening up in like our old hometowns upstate and like Syracuse and stuff. Yeah. And it's a totally different planet than when I left there, like in the early 90s.
Yeah.
You couldn't wait to get out.
Well,
well,
yeah,
we're
one of the two Asian kids that are like, yeah. When I started working in Yahoo with one of my coworkers was a Filipino, and he was from Watertown, and so we instantly bonded because he pointed to me. It's like, wait, you're from upstate? So, and I was like, yeah. And like, he's Filipino, so he's, you know, has a very like, you know, island look. And he's like, so you were the Chinese kid too in your school? I'm like, yeah, I was the Chinese kid. Like, yeah.
us moving to Elmira was the first time I wasn't the only Jewish kid in the county.
One of the last bosses I had at Yahoo, he was he was East Indian, and he was telling us that he went through North Carolina, and he walked into a bar, and the people pointed at him and yelled, well, "That's not black or white. That's a brother from another planet."
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I visited friends of mine in suburbs and like Pittsburgh, and like, you know, they took us to like a store where like they bought like a bottle of wine for us to like celebrate the reunion together and stuff. And I asked like the guy at the supermarket counter, like, what are the open container laws here? Because I don't want to have to get like a plastic bag to carry this out. And he was like, well, sir, you see, in this country, so I was like, oh yeah, and yeah, the people I were sort of like mortified and stuff, but
jeez.
Yeah, a lot of those towns and a lot of the places that I grew up upstate are changing both in drastically in population as well as in culture, and it's just interesting to see how things evolve or just, you know, empty out over time. You know?
We're going up to visit my wife's family next summer, and I'm trying. They're in a real small town north of Olean. Mm-hmm. They're off 17. We're looking at maybe driving down from that area down to Elmira, which would be my first time there in 25-26 years. So it's going to be a culture shock to see what's changed.
Not much from what you described, though. Just, you know, there's a really awesome comic shop there now.
Yeah.
But Twin Series is really was really great. Also, Billy and Zach from the original Power Rangers, David Yost and I'm sorry, I forgot Zach's real name. Sarah, help me out here. Someone Google this. Walter Emmanuel Jones. Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, they were both appearing there, and it was great because, you know, you just saw your childhood sitting there, and then afterwards, I binge watched the first three seasons of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
I remember the first time that I ever heard of the the Power Rangers. I saw a commercial on TV, and I freaked out because it says, "Today, you know, on today's episode, see the birth of the White Power Ranger." And I, like, threw down my pen. I was like, "White Power Ranger? Like, White Power has a superhero? Like, what is this show?" But then, yeah, it turned out different. So,
yes. Yeah. God, it was White Tiger Power Ranger.
Yes, yes. Did they actually just throw in the tiger there just so, because they caught on to that too, or did they?
No. It's all this footage is from Japan, by the way. It's not like they try to, like, sneak it in, like, ha ha ha.
Right.
The U.S. shows are what, 2-3 years behind with Japan?
Yeah, and plus the first three seasons of Power Rangers is actually three separate storylines from the Japanese version. Because in the Japanese version, I think they rebooted the series each season. And so the Power Rangers tied together three separate storylines. And it was weird because by the second season, they were still in their original costumes for consistency, but they couldn't use any of the Japanese footage of the new costumes, mainly because they also looked kind of stupid. So you saw these Americanized scenes now, and the costumes were so ugly on the American side because they were too shiny, and Tommy's shield was just so ugly. It was always like foamy and like bending around a lot. Like, how is that a shield? Like, what's that going to protect you from? Like a Q-tip could stab through that. Like, come on.
As a child, you're like, I see holes in this. There's the fourth wall is broken. I can't. My suspension of disbelief is threatened.
How did the Red Ranger all of a sudden gain 50 pounds of muscle? I don't get it.
Why is it when they put on their costumes, they're only 5 feet tall, and then when they...
Why does the pink Power Ranger look like a man?
So, speaking of people that you guys meet at cons, are there any kind of geek out moments with the people that you get to meet at cons?
Yes, actually.
Oh,
so,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Marina Sirtis, who played Deanna Troi on Star Trek The Next Generation, I looked down at Piggy, and Marina Sirtis was, like, on the ground hugging my dog and, like, petting him. And she was like, "Oh, I love your dog. This is great." And she's, you know, a huge dog lover, and we just started talking about dogs, and she was fantastic, and just saying, like, "Oh, this is, you know, like, you know, this is a three-legged dog, and, you know, we're swapping dog stories inside." I'm freaking out, like, "It's Deanna Troi, like, you know," you know, like, awesome. They name a chocolate drink after you in Las Vegas, and, you know, like, yeah, and I was trying to play it cool while I'm, like, hopping up and down, and Ethan has seen me try to play it cool while I'm, like, hopping up and down in place and thinking that I'm all playing it cool while, you know, like, I got the meth hands going and everything like that. But.
Well, when Todd is trying to play it cool, it just means that he substitutes and compensates with lots of talking, and his eyes are, like, bulging out of his head. He's just kind of like, "Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god."
Yeah.
Actually, I have an autograph picture of her from, I met her at the Motor City Comic Con years ago. Yeah, she's really nice.
Yeah, no, she was fantastic. Like, she posed with Piggy and, like, had us take a whole bunch of pictures, and she just said, like, you know, "Post them anywhere you want. Like, you know, if it'll help you get, you know, support for your animal hospital and stuff, totally do it," and stuff like that. And I was like, "You're Deanna Troi!" Yeah, so, yeah. That conversation, you know, went far. So, yeah, that was my biggest.
You guys had also other stuff in common too, right? She's, like, also a Sea Shepherd.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, she's a big Sea Shepherd supporter. And so, like, yeah, when we started talking about that, she's like, "No way." And I'm like, "Wait, you're impressed with me? What was this going on?"
What's going
on? Alternate universe?
Actually, when I was growing up, like, you know, pretty much the only, you know, like, when you watch TV or movies, you kind of look for yourself, you know, and that's why, like, Whoopi Goldberg became an actor. She saw Nichelle Nichols on Star Trek and said, like, "Hey," like, and yelled, "Mom, there's a black woman on TV, you know, and inspired her, and And so my only, you know, role models on TV or in the movies growing up was I had Godzilla and I had Yoda. Like, those were my two. Like, you know. And then so, you know, when I saw, you know, George Takei, who is an actual human, you know, in a role, you know, I was blown away and I was like, oh, wow. And, you know, I watched Star Trek so much and I became like a big George Takei follower and everything. And then I grew up and became, you know, a navigator on a ship. So
wait, you looked up to Godzilla?
Everyone looks up to Godzilla.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Everybody. So
you wanted to step on a lot of scared Japanese people? Like, what was it? What was it about Godzilla that appealed to you? All the terror or all the destruction?
It was just like, you know, he was an Asian that, you know, wasn't getting bullied in school and people weren't pushing him around. So I related to him.
Well, they can't push him around. They're being stepped on. Like, how are you going to push him?
Exactly. I mean, like, well, I Godzilla a way to not get pushed around than if you, like, you know, don't notice they're at the bottom of your foot. So.
No. Don't get me wrong. I like Godzilla. I just find it interesting that you said you look up to Godzilla. It's like if I watched Dante's Peak and I said, man, I really look up to that volcano that's about to erupt and really not get pushed around by all these people here, especially
well,
not.
You know, if you have a shared history with Dante's Peak, you know. Like,
you know. Hey, but, I have plenty of shared Dante's
Peak. I am part
Peak.
Japanese, so, you know, he was my Japanese role model. I mean,
hey, I hate Pierce Brosnan. That's my connection with Dante's Peak.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, it was, and Yoda was like, you know, even in a different galaxy in a different time, like, you know, the old Asian parents will still just don't make an effort to get rid of their bad grammar. So I related to that. So yeah, that was actually one of my jobs on the ship, was that, like, we would get a lot of broadcasts and stuff from a lot of other ships that we would encounter, and a lot of them would be, you know, like barely English speaking people and stuff. And so, like, that I was the official translator there of like, I understand any broken English, because I grew up in a house where broken English was the only common language. So
I actually have one of the transmissions you might have heard from the ship.
Huh? I'm coming. I do a pinky.
Oh, yes. There were some times when some people were like trying to sound tough on the radio and stuff, and like, wow, is Megatron to like trying to broadcast us or something? Because yeah, sometimes when they try to sound tough and, like, you know, like, we're armed and stuff, that it just doesn't sound real. And I'm like, you're so using a fake voice. You're trying to us.
Watching that show was so crazy, and seeing these people out on these tiny boats and these huge waves, and sitting there trying to go over to the other ship. It's just like, you guys are nuts.
Yeah. No, our actually, the co-founder of our animal hospital, who's actually also in the comics, Andrea Gordon, she is the navigator on those small boats. And yeah, she was actually, she was one of the people that was trapped on the boats, after the altercations with the Japanese, and they got, injured or damaged, and they were lying there for like hours waiting for the, larger ships to find them. And there was like the legitimate threat, you know, they wouldn't be found in time and like freeze to death. And of course, you know, she later said to me, like, I was so bored. I'm like, what am I going to do for 7 hours while I try not to freeze to death? Like, you know, I should have brought a book, you know. but it's a lot of stuff happens there that you're only conscious of what a big danger you're in, you know, long after it's done. So well, except for the part where they say, like, jump into the water and take a swim, so that will give you like the certificate, like it's like the penguin swim or something. I forget what it's called, but it's the tradition. Oh, the
polar bear club.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. It's not a good idea, but if you have the opportunity, why not? Yeah. So
I would do it if other people were doing it, but not by myself.
Yeah. No, I mean, like,
I'm a follower.
By themselves, but everyone does it. So, like, you know, when we get down there, like, the last time that I was on the ship, we actually got down there with substantial amount of time before, like, the Japanese fleet left, because they left late that year for a variety of reasons. But then they so, like, we actually were in an Erica with some time to intercept, and so we're like, oh, well, this is a great time to do that dive. And so, like, yeah, like, everyone, like, got in line, and of course, no one actually remembers from the previous year how horrifying it is. So, like, yeah. People, like, you know, grizzled, you know, tough people, like, you know, the able-bodied seamen will, like, jump into the water, and then they'll just, like, freak out and, like, you know, climb up the rope, and like, their underwear will fall off. They'll look back, like, eh, whatever, and just, like, keep going, and...
Talk about some shrinkage. That must have been bad.
Yeah, and then like afterwards, like because you have a quota. Like you're not allowed to take more than a 3-minute hot shower, like every 3 days or so. And so like you would have to like ration your time and stuff like that. And like it's really cold because like you're in the shower stall, like the next door over is the door like to the outside, and so like you really want to ration that heat time. So after that dive, like everyone got out and just piled into the shower stall at once and just like did their 3 minutes together. It's just like one of them. It was cool. Like it, but yeah, it's on the one hand it's something you should never do, but on the other hand you should totally do it.
So, what's... I totally blanked. Because I think I asked the question already.
Are you just picturing everyone in the shower at the same time?
Yes.
I'm trying to burn that image out. Where can people find you guys on the internet?
Okay, so we are on all social media, but if you go to piggytale.com, which is PiggyTale.com, that has all the links to like our social media and blog and all that stuff. So that is where you'll find us. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. Well, like Darwin Animal Doctors on Instagram, and that's where they find a million pictures of Piggy and Simon and the comic and everything. But yeah, like we have a growing presence on the net with the more people that come take our pictures and everything like that. We actually at Baltimore Comic Con we had this big workshop actually with the kids there, where we had them all draw pictures of Piggy and Simon, and then if Piggy liked your comic,
it's like, my art.
Yeah. So actually, it was really kind of funny because the way that we often have like interact with the kids is that we have Piggy come up and he wears this cape, like our friend Gina from Super Sock Shop, like the seamstress, like actually creates a doggy cape for him to wear at these events, and he comes up and he sits down there, and the kids draw pictures of him and everything like that, and you know, then the kids come up and show the pictures and stuff, and it's cool that way. But then in Baltimore, when I came up there with Piggy, they handed me a Sharpie and put me right next to this giant paper, and then put me and then said like, oh, ABC might film this, so okay, go ahead, start teaching them how to draw Piggy and Simon. I'm like, I'm not the illustrator. So I'm like, okay, kids, and I drew this little stick figure of Piggy here, and I was like, okay, kids, like, you know, show me up, come on, you can do better than I can. So and I guess it was inspiring to people to see that they could keep up with a, you know, professional comic book, because like the adults actually started getting into it and stuff. And the people that ran like the Baltimore Comic Con workshop were saying like, you know, it's really weird to see like actual like all of these grown-ups and stuff getting into drawing pictures and for these children's workshops, like, you know, like a little, you know, 5-year-old kid's showing like, hey, and then after that like this gigantic person comes up like, here's my picture. Do I get a copy?
Aw, that's awesome.
Yeah,
you can pay for it, young man. Anyway, I always find these really hilarious because it's so clear where some of these kids copy the panels from, and on the one hand I'm really flattered, and I'm so glad that, you know, the book has touched all these kids and adults apparently, and not to mention there have actually been kids from the from a hospital. Which was it, Todd? The Mount Sinai or something?
No, it's the St. Catherine Center for Children. It's in Albany,
right? And they did a bunch of letters to Piggy and some really lovely heartfelt drawings and stuff. So the altruist in me finds this really endearing, and the heartless comic book artist in me is just kind of like, you know, don't try to take my job, little boy.
Yeah, I always thought it would be really interesting to have Ethan come and be a guest judge at one of these things and just tear these kids apart.
Yeah. We need therapy after.
Pac-Man's a circle, not an oval.
When, like, hold up, like, you know, the comic page is blown up here. It's like this. You think that this looks like this?
Huh? The Gordon Ramsay of comic illustrators.
Yeah. In all seriousness, it's a great event, and if I ever do get to host one or participate in one, I'll do my best not to to be a jerk to all the kids. I can't promise about the adults, though, but I'll do my best not to be a jerk to all the kids.
It's going
to
be hell's bullpen.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of these kids are really hard on themselves. Like, they see the dog and they, like, really want to do a good job. Like, there was this one child.
It's all Common Core.
Yeah. mistakes are not allowed. Yeah, there's this one little kid who drew, like, a really nice picture of, like, a smiling piggy face and everything. He was trying to tear it up. He was so, like, ashamed. He's like, no, this is not... And, like, his mom actually had to bring up the picture and say, like, see, people actually like it and stuff like that. Like, no, like, come on, draw. Like, go ahead, make mistakes. Like, you know, play, learn. This is how you eventually become like us. You know, maybe you'll be less neurotic than we are, you know, if you're okay with mistakes until that point.
Look at some of the Marvel artists.
Halo.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to comment on that, sorry.
I won't mention names. BMB.
But to be a comic artist or a creator, like, you know, the reality is to be in this field, you have to be a little crazy and just a little neurotic, because it's a field that offers very little reward for just how much work you have to put into each and every single page. And if that kid is serious about it, he'll learn that eventually.
Yeah. No, I mean, like,
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to just become a downer about it. I just.
Yeah, it's one of those testaments to, like, how much this means to people. You know, we've been meeting so many letterers and colorists. They're overbooked. They are not nearly making enough on, you know, a reasonable amount of work in order to make their rent. And they could make so much more doing commercial work and stuff. But they do this and they put up with all of this just because it's their passion, it's their love, and they're not going to walk away from it. And it's one of those things that, you know, it's clearly not the money, it's not the comfortable lifestyle, it's not how much free time, it's just doing your passion that's driving them 100%. And it's humbling, you know, when you meet these people who are not like us, where we're like, this would be a great project to, like, you know, make my dog famous and you know, get the our animal hospital some help and do some, like, humane outreach and you know, reach some kids this way. But people are like, if I don't do enough of this, I will starve this month. And actually, like, see the lifestyle that they have to go through in order to just keep up the love of their art. At comic conventions, we're always meeting a lot of people that humble us and a lot of
humbles you and not humble me. Sorry.
What's up?
That was a joke, sorry. I said, no one humbles me, it humbles you.
There's all sorts of, like, I mean, we've met, like, children who come to our table and say, like, yeah, like, every year our parents ask if we would rather get, like, a present for Christmas or if we would rather, like, have a donation to an animal shelter for Christmas. And we always choose, like, a donation to the animal shelter. And, you know, what am I going to do with another toy? And, like, these are, like, little kids that are, like, making these decisions and stuff. And you know, you meet cosplayers who have, like, really elaborate costumes. They're like, oh, well, like, you know, I volunteer at, like, you know, or in a retirement home, like, every month and stuff like that. And I love, like, you know, and things that you would never usually find out about if you didn't happen to have, like, three-legged dog with you and stuff. But, yeah, like, there's
a
lot.
It's a good thing that... I'm sorry, I thought you were done. Yeah. I was just going to say, to encapsulate what you're trying to distill everything, it's a good thing that a piggy's tail is reaching the compassionate people, unlike the really selfish bastard who draws it. This whole time out here talking to all these nice, wonderful people who volunteer and do all this nice stuff. And meanwhile, I won't even give a Deadpool sketch to a kid just because I'm having the sniffles. This kid's got to learn the hard way. You don't get what you want.
That's actually interesting. Like, all of these people, like, I know that being around huge crowds, kind of like, that's not really your scene. It's to be crowded by tons of people. And, like, a lot of artists are real introverts. And, you know, they would rather not be stuck in a giant crowd and be made the focus of and everything like that. But they put themselves out there and they put themselves in these incredibly uncomfortable situations with themselves and like, you know, and try to talk to their fans in public and stuff like that. You know, it's clearly not for them because they, you know.
That's why everyone at Artist Alley has their heads down.
Yeah.
Which, like, I didn't come here to interact with anyone. Just come look at my table and tell me what you like about me.
Yeah. Okay, buy some of my stuff.
If any artist is listening right now, I don't mean to rag on you. That's not what I was trying to do. Sorry. but the reality is I understand how hard it can be introverted. Because I was very introverted myself, but I didn't make a bulk of my living or bulk of my past. You know, I've been working professionally for 10 years, but a bulk of that's been through advertising and commercial art. And, you know, when you freelance like that and basically run your own business, you're forced to basically create a separate persona that's a lot more assertive and that's a lot more confident. And it's a projection, much like everything else. And I think, you know, if there are any artists listening or if I get to talk to artists at New York Comic Con, that's probably like the biggest piece of advice I could probably give to some people. Just eventually you just have to create that separate persona to separate yourself from everything that makes you feel uncomfortable. It's just people respond to confidence. People also respond, obviously, to generosity, and they respond to kindness, too. But confidence is something that rubs off on people. And also affability. You know, I think that's one of the strengths of our table, especially when we're both there and I'm in a good mood. Me and Todd are both very affable, and we play off of each other. Todd's always in a good mood. So, I mean, not always, but, you know, he hides his bad moods pretty well by shaking a lot.
I think in the business that you guys are in, you kind of have to do that. They go out and meet people in order to make a living and get new fans and things like that. Because I've got a cousin that's an artist and refuses to do that, and he's like doing nothing. I'm like, why don't you just get a table and go to a con one time? He's like, I don't want to meet people. Just totally against.
Yeah, I was like that back in like 2004 when I first started self-publishing. I was actually a lot like that too. Hence why my first miniseries, you probably haven't heard of it, because I just refused to go out to meet anyone. And eventually I realized that, like, man, I don't feel confident enough in my comic book work just yet. So I concentrated on my commercial work. And, you know, that's, you know, that's a compensation that I made. But, you know, a lot of other people, like you said, are going to have to make that choice. Do I go out to conventions and get a table and suffer possible rejection, or do I stay at home? And I stayed at home, but I found other ways to make money and work on my craft while working towards a larger goal. I just had to find certain ways to circumvent the usual conventional path. And luckily, through hard work and some lucky breaks here and there, I got to where I needed to go. But it wasn't without a couple of, you know, failures. And, you know, that's the thing too, like, I always learned from my failures. So, I mean, if I didn't learn from my failures, I probably wouldn't be here talking to you right now. So
yeah, you've actually blogged a few times about, like, advice on for, like, people that want to become artists and stuff, haven't you?
Yeah, the biggest, and here's another thing too. Was that Brett before?
Yes. Yep.
Brett. Yeah, that's another thing too that I always say to artists who are looking to break in the first time, and even like if they're not trying to get into Marvel or DC or just trying to finish their first project. I have friends still now who want to make everything perfect, and they'll create like. They'll write out their whole story and then they'll actually complete 5 or 6 pages and maybe even like more than that, like 20 pages. And then they'll actually go back and redo it. And that's a huge problem because it's something that I used to do too. And, you know, being a perfectionist obviously is admirable because you want to better yourself each and every single day. But at the same time, you are basically just prolonging the release of your comic and you want to make it perfect because the reality is you're afraid of rejection and you are very afraid of criticism. So make it as perfect as possible. And in my blog post, I I wrote last year, I basically told everyone, no one gives a crap. I mean, really, no one does. Like, that's not to be mean. It's just very few people make the huge splash with their first project. Like, not everyone is Craig Thompson or Kate Beaton. You know, like, no one, like, one of the biggest artists now, like Fiona Staples, no one knows her first work. No one. Absolutely no one knows her first work. I don't know it. Like, I doubt anyone else knows it. She did do something else. I just don't know it now. But, you know, no one cares. No one remembers Frank Quitely's first work. Barely anyone remembers Todd McFarlane's first work. No one's going to care. And I know I'm just rambling right now because I drank a lot of 7-Up, okay? But that's one of my key advices. Just finish your first project because that gets you over that hump. And you can say to yourself when you look in the mirror and, you know, you're hating yourself like a lot of artists do. Like, you can just look in the mirror and just say, at least I finished that first project. And that at least gives me the confidence that I can finish the second project and the third project. Because really, like, managing your time and managing your work schedule is a skill that so few people actually learn and master. Like, it's just time management is an actual skill, just like the skill of shading or the skill of coloring. Like, if you don't know how to manage your time, I don't care if you're freaking Leonardo da Vinci. Like, you're not gonna be able to do anything if you can't manage your time. Oh, what, you did 2 beautiful pages in a year? That's great. When you're 108, it will finally get your masterpiece. But until then, like, no one cares.
Yeah, we were talking about that when we were before we came on air about DC and Marvel both being so far behind on all their event comics and driving everything else back.
Yeah, Secret Wars has been going on for like 5.5 years now, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think that's about it.
Pretty close.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's crazy, right? Like, I mean, there's so many talented people working in the industry, but, like, I've talked to editors when they're like, man, like, some of these artists are just slow. And I'm like, yeah, this is, they don't know how to manage their time. When I worked in advertising, I couldn't be a month late. I'm a month late, I don't get that check. And if I don't get that check, you know, the cats don't eat. The cats don't eat. They start to smell really bad because they're dying. So, like, everyone needs to eat around here.
We all know that saying. Yeah. Smell. Yeah.
But, yeah, but, I mean.
What was Trump Kitty say, I'm going to build a litter box between the borders.
I'm going to build the most luxurious, gold-encrusted, diamond-plated litter box you ever seen that you losers will ever get to sniff.
And the dog's going to pay for it.
I love dogs.
It's going to have a door so you can get in and out of it.
Yeah. I got nothing against doors. I just sold a litter box to a dog. It's a much funnier when it was only several weeks after that ridiculous press conference and you have a cat in front of you who you can kind of just like do anything you want to, because it's my wife's cat Midnight, and she's lovely and wonderful, but you can just play with her like an action figure. She lets you do anything to her. Awesome.
So, well, I think that's going to wrap it up for this week. We thank Todd, Sarah, and Ethan for coming on and chatting about the ongoing adventures of Piggy's Tale and where to find them at New York City Comic Con. So, thank you guys again. It was a pleasure. Can't wait to have you guys back, especially when there's new stuff coming up. And again, congrats to Ethan for Najin. I know I just mispronounced it, didn't I?
It's okay. Don't worry about it. Yeah. It's going to be fun. I'm going to be splitting my time at the Dark Horse booth, and splitting my time with Todd. Although I'm pretty sure Todd will make me babysit a little bit, but that's fine.
It's not up to me. I have no power over this. The child determines everything.
Hydroplastic.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you guys. It's always great. You guys are our favorites.
Oh, nice meeting you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jules, yeah. Brett, Derek, Mike, thank you again.
No problem.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, until next week.
Want to know more?
So, the bad crowd you've been hanging out with is a science fiction club?
This has been a Weeby Geeks production.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
Are you in the market for some new swag? Some comic-themed merch? How about a Sweetwater keychain of your favorite villain or vigilante? Just hop over to the Weebie Geeks site and click the Superhero Stuff link and let the retail therapy commence. Using the link helps support Weebie Geeks because they get a small commission from each sale at no extra cost to you. So get to shopping, and thanks for listening.
You ever wonder when Spider-Man goes to the bathroom if the toilet paper sticks to his fingers?
You ever wonder why Superman wears his underwear outside of his pants?
My name is Imran.
My name is Anthony.
He's the jock!
And he's the nerd.
And we're your hosts for the Jock and Nerd Podcast, where we sometimes try to attempt to answer these questions.
This is a full spoiler podcast, and we swear a lot.
Check it out for awesome geek news, interviews, and comic book reviews. Visit jockandnerd.com. We are your superhero TV, movies, and comic book culture curators.
Boom.
Jockandnerd.com.
Jock and Nerd!
Did you know that you can shop and support the Weebie Geeks Network at the same time? Every time you use the Amazon link to make purchases, such as a set of CAD Sessions MH510 headphones to listen to the Weebie Geeks Network podcasts, a percentage of your purchase goes towards helping the network. So, to review, browse the page, click the link, shop, and repeat. Thanks, and keep listening.